but it will inexorably lead to a nuclear-armed Iran whose unbridled aggression will inevitably lead to war. The second path, however difficult, could lead to a much better deal that would prevent a nuclear-armed Iran, a nuclearized Middle East, and the horrific consequences of both to all of humanity. You don't have to read Robert Frost to know. You have to live life to know that the difficult path is usually the one less traveled. But it will make all the difference for the future of my country, the security of the Middle East, and the peace of the world, the peace we all desire. My friends, standing up to Iran is not easy. Standing up to dark and murderous regimes never is. With us today is Holocaust survivor and Nobel Prize winner Elie Wiesel.
Okay, the Prime Minister talking, continuing his speech there. We are able to reestablish a connection with the Michael Jones, editor of Culture Wars Online magazine, who joins us, and I'm sorry to break the promise, but we reestablished a connection. So let's go with you, Michael Jones. Why don't we start where we left off?
Yeah, I was going to say the damage is already done here. The damage in Israeli-American relations has already taken place. You could tell that from the releases that were coming out just a few days leading up to the speech from the government. The United States said that the Obama administration stopped an attack that Israel was about to launch on Iran, threatening to shoot down their planes. They're releasing polls now that saying 30% of the people now are supporting the Israeli position, down from 60%. So I think the damage is already done. I think that this is a desperate attempt, and I think the proof that it's a desperate attempt is the fact that they had to drag Elie Wiesel into this story. Elie Wiesel, author of that autobiography, Night, full of historical misrepresentations, is playing the Holocaust card. Well, the American people are tired of hearing the Holocaust card being played, and I think that this is just a sign of desperation on Netanyahu's part.
Damage already done. Do you agree?
Well, damage has been done, Kava, I think. But most important, we have to come back to this question. Why Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington? Two reasons. He believes that Iran is a grave threat. And he talked about it. He talked about Iran on a verge of nuclear threshold. But most of his speech thus far to the Congress has been a history lesson, not talking about the nuclear threshold. He started by challenging Iran's position in the Middle East. So there is a contradiction right there. On the second issue, which is kind of trying to oppose President Obama, if I were President Obama, if I was watching this speech, I would be furious right now. President Obama the White House repeatedly has said, sure, Mr. Netanyahu, I know you don't agree with this, but give me a better solution. We just heard that Mr. Netanyahu said we prefer no deal over a bad deal. Okay, perfectly fine. If I was a member of Congress today, I would say, what would you think? How would you define a better deal? So the Prime Minister is not coming up with solution. He's not coming up with detailed solution. No doubt the American public knows the Prime Minister is very charming and he's very charismatic. But today is not about being charming as charismatic. Today is about Prime Minister Netanyahu offering credibility, and he is not offering credibility. And most important, if you look at the timing of the joint session, we've been making some mistake calling it a joint session. This is a joint meeting. We only have a joint session, Kaveh, when the President of the United States is addressing the House and the Senate. So right now, we've seen for the first 10 minutes, Prime Minister came out and said, I want to thank the American public. I want to thank the most important legislative body in the world. But also, I want to thank President Obama. So he is a little bit trying to do damage control. But most important, let's not forget that Benjamin Netanyahu is a politician. He has an election on March 17th, and he wants to gain a few extra seats for his party, which is a centrist right-wing party, a Likud party. And he believes if he's being perceived as a protector and a guardian of Israel's security at the cost and misperception that he's throwing to the international community, which is Iran fear, he can gain a few seats. So for the Israeli prime minister, this is very much so politicized, and he understands what's at the stake. But he's making a political gamble as well.
Well, the thing is this, let me ask you this, Professor Sajjadpour. Remember this famous speech at 2012. So if these are the facts, and they are, and I'm quoting, a red line should be drawn right here before Iran gets to a point where it is a few months away or a few weeks away from making a nuclear weapon. And we know that when this news broke out last week in terms of the Mossad saying that this was false, hasn't he lost all credibility? End of story?
I think he has lost when you don't have the support of your own intelligence community. I think it's the end of credibility. But you see, while he has lost credibility, he is in a way a person who doesn't care about credibility. What he cares, I think, is about being on the stage, being as a person known that he's a fighter, but you know he is not. And if you read the psychological analysis on him, which a good number of writers have written, he's a coward person. I mean, he's not brave at all. He seems brave in these pronouncements that he stands up against a threat. But at the deeper level, he doesn't have any, let's say, bravery at all. And I think this is where the intelligence community, where the think-tanking community of his own people understand, and they have advised him that this degree of fear creating, fear fabrication, I call it fear industry, you know, creating a commodity, producing a commodity as fear of Iran, it doesn't have such type of market anymore. And don't forget, while they are aware of this fact that this commodity is not still, I mean, it's not marketable as it was before, but still they think they can use it for domestic political purposes. And I have to add one more point, that is the upcoming election of United States in 2016. Don't forget that Republicans lost the second round, I mean, when we had Mitt Romney and Obama. The language of Mitt Romney was exactly identical with him today, with Netanyahu. They both tried to bring fear of Iran as the main electoral subject, but it didn't work. But they want to redefine it. The Republicans, at least the right-wing side of the Republican, is thinking of this. So it's a, I think they know what's going on, but if you're a politician and just going for a vote, you have to really show a toughness, but I'm sure that it doesn't work. And the issue that you raise, I think, is a fundamental one, and that is credibility. And I would end by saying that credibility is not just personal. Israel has no credibility. Why? Look, everybody knows, it's a fact. Even the former prime minister of this regime publicly said that they have nuclear bomb. So an entity which has nuclear bomb, at least 200 of them, is in no position to advise the others, including the American Congress, to be aware of a possible nuclear bomb of Iran. You see, he is reducing the totality of Iran to one single issue. This, our country with this vast, huge culture and territory and, you know, dynamism of everything, every side, to one single issue. That's nuclear, issue. Then he is reducing the nuclear issue to nuclear bomb, and then nuclear bomb to using it in such a way as Holocaust. But Israel has no credibility to talk about nuclear bomb because it has bomb, and furthermore, Israel is not a member of NPT. It's not just only a member of NPT. It's not even a member of Chemical Weapon Convention. So the credibility which you raised is a fundamental one, and I think they have lost, and they have lost to the degree that even American politicians don't believe them. I mean, a good number walked away. They say we don't come to listen to this incredible, untrustworthy person. And if you go deeper, you see President Carter. He was the president of the United States. He's also talking about this type of people and mentality. So for him, these people don't have any credibility at all.
Well, there's something that I noticed. I don't know if you agree with me or not. And it was somewhat of a contradiction. But at one point, he said that we're not going to attack Iran. What we want is a better deal. And then he said a few sentences later that if this deal currently being worked on is going to be agreed upon, it's going to inevitably lead to war. My question is, do you think that Israel is going to go to an extent to make sure that the region, as we're seeing it today, is going to be in flames were there to be a deal, given the fact that they're totally opposed to it?
Well, actually, Israel does not want a deal in the first place. So when he talks about a good deal, a bad deal, a better deal, a worse deal, Israel doesn't want a deal between Iran and the world, the international community. Israel wants Iran to be isolated. But interestingly, instead of Iran being isolated today, Israel is being isolated today. And Israel is becoming isolated day in, day out because of its policies and because of Benjamin Netanyahu and because of what Israel has been doing to the people of Gaza. Just see, he talked about Iran. He said Iran is a murderous regime. The people of the world saw for themselves which one is the murderous regime, Iran or Israel. Israel killed women and children. Israel bombed people's houses in Gaza. And the defenseless people of Gaza were killed by Israeli weapons, and the weapons that were supplied to Israel by the United States and by some of the Western countries. So what we are seeing today is a Benjamin Netanyahu that lies so much. Just say, oh, man. How can you lie so much? Even President Obama said yesterday in an interview with Reuters that this guy is a liar. He said that whatever Benjamin Netanyahu has said so far hasn't come true. It's huge. The president of the United States is saying that the prime minister of Israel is a liar. So what the Israeli prime minister is trying to sell some products, as professor said, but 100% sure nobody's going to buy that.
Well, E. Michael Jones, let's look at what you said. You said the damage has been done. There was a lawmaker that came out and said that this damage that has been done, to use your words, is going to continue through until 2016. How much of an unraveling do you think will take place if what you're saying is true?
I think that you can't underestimate the importance of what happened here. Here we've got Netanyahu getting the Congress to cheer